Amen. All right, take your Bibles, if you would, and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 5. We've been on the home for several months, several years, as a matter of fact. There's times where we have to take a considerable amount of time off due to meetings and I'm still bivocational. And you say, what does that mean? It means I have two full-time jobs. And so because of that, sometimes I have to miss on Wednesdays, but Lord willing, we're working towards getting away from having to do that. But we've not been on it every Wednesday, but we're trying to get back on it because I'll be home, Lord willing, for a little while until camp meeting at least. Ephesians chapter number 5. We've been dealing with the home, and as we look at the world and what the world has to offer and the entertainment of the world, television shows now, they have for a long time, but it's getting more prevalent. They're making fun of the home. They're making fun of a home unit. They're making fun of a father and a mother and children and all those things. And if you have a home that is how God wants it to be, you're made fun of. You're mocked. You're called old-fashioned. And it's not a popular thing. But the Bible never has been popular. God's never been popular. Christ has never been popular. And we want a home that pleases the Lord. And so I'm gonna look at a couple things tonight, do a quick recap of an illustration. And then after that, we'll begin to talk about the next part of what I want to deal with in the home. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21, if you're there, say amen. 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 Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now that is a statement that is made that is a part of a continued paragraph. You can see that in the punctuation marks above that. That's dealing with not being drunk with wine, wherein is excess in verse 18, but being filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs in verse 19. Singing and making a melody in your hearts to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And these instructions that are given here are given to the home. Now, we take these verses and we use them for the church about singing the psalms and the hymns and spiritual songs. But that is not just dealing within the church. It's dealing within your home. And there's an order. Everybody has somebody they submit to. We find that there in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Everybody has somebody that they submit to. Everybody does. From the goldfish all the way up to the man. Amen. Everybody has somebody they submit to. And so that's what this is dealing with when it says submitting yourselves one to another. And I've heard it preached that the wife should submit to the husband and the husband should submit to the wife. And if you want to look at it that way, I guess that's okay as long as you keep it in the proper order. It does not mean that the husband is supposed to submit to his wife when she doesn't agree with what he's saying. That's not what that means. It means that she submits to him by obeying him. And it means that he submits to her by loving her. That's what that means. Everybody has their order and their place. And he goes on to explain that in detail. All right. Sometimes people like to use that verse to try to say that the husband and wife should submit to one another and the man should submit to his wife, and they get it all out of order, and that's wrong. God explains what he's talking about here in the next few verses. Verse number 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is in subjection unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bone. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And then he continues on in chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So when he talks about submitting yourselves one to another, what he's saying is we all have an area of submission, but it's supposed to be in biblical order. And he gives us the order here. And then he gives us illustrations of what he's talking about. The wives are to submit to their husbands as the church does to Christ. That is the example the wife is given. And that is a tall order. But I tell you what else is a tall order is the husband is supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And if you don't think that's tall enough for you, then he goes on to say, you need to love her as much as you love yourself. Amen. And a man is going to get what he wants most of the time. Amen. To take care of his flesh. That's what he's going to do. Men are very selfish. Hey, not there. They got a couple amens. That's what the verse is dealing with here. Men are very selfish. And there's things that they love. There's things that they like. They love themselves. And the Bible tells you that you're supposed to love her as much as you do yourself. As you do yourself. It says right there in verse number 33. In particular, so love his wife even as himself. And so you say, well, I would never hurt myself on purpose. Well, then why do you hurt her? Amen? I wouldn't let nobody talk to me that way. Well, then why would you talk to her that way? And I can go on and on, and we're going to deal with some of that here in just a little bit. But that's what that's dealing with. I mean, there's men sometimes, they would go out in public and they hear a conversation and walk. So, man, I've never let anybody treat me that way. But then go home and treat their wife like a doormat. Amen. How would you like to be treated that way? Well, you say, I wouldn't. I wouldn't let nobody treat me that way. Okay, treat your wife the same way you want to be treated. You want respect, and you want to be treated with dignity, and you want to be talked to like an adult, not like a child, then you do the same thing with your wife. Amen. And again, as I go through this, every time I teach this, I've taught it a few different times, there's people that'll say, I would submit to my husband if he loved me that way. Well, of course you would. It's a perfect world, right? But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible just says submit to your husband. You say, well, he doesn't love me like you just described. You pray for him. You pray for him. God has a way of putting knots on people's heads. But you submit anyway. And then husband, you might say, well, I would love her like that, and I would treat her like that if she would submit to me. Well, that's not what the Bible says. Everybody has to give an account of themselves to God. And when it comes to a home, every child, every mother, every father has to give an account of what they did in that home and in that marriage, regardless of what the other person did. Everybody's got to give an account. And God gives us these illustrations here. And I want to give an illustration tonight. I don't know who I'm going to use. I don't know why I was thinking my wife would be in here, because she's never in here on Wednesday nights. Anybody like to volunteer? Any ladies to come up here? Come on, my wife's not in here. I can make her come up here, but she isn't. Anybody at all? All right, Sister Patty, come on. I've given this illustration before when it comes to submission, okay? And if you would, just hold that umbrella, okay? In the life of a... Do what?
It's open in the house.
It's open in the house, that's right. And so in the life of a woman, she has a head over her. The Bible talks about that, right? And her husband is her head that's supposed to be over her. Now, if it's raining and it's storming and lightning crashing, you don't want to be out with a metal umbrella. But This world is wicked. There's wickedness on every turn, right? And God put that in her life as a protection. And you can picture this umbrella as protection, as the man, as the head of the home, all right? Now, we know that over the head is the head, which is Christ Jesus. And we don't have to preach about him. He does what he's supposed to do, right? It's everybody under Christ who messes up. And so this pictures Brother Jim in her life. This is a picture of that. So this world, all the negative, all the wicked, all those things, God made him to be able to handle all that. She's the weaker vessel. That's what the Bible, I'm not making this stuff up, right? This is what the Bible says. She's the weaker vessel. So God made him to be able to handle the phone calls. And made him to be able to handle the financial problems. And made him to be able to handle the difficulties. He didn't make her to be able to handle it. Now, in some homes, she has to handle it because he won't. Right? Has to. But God designed it this way. So when all these things come against her in the home, she has this protection on her head to protect her. She is submitting to her head. She's there. The children are here with her. They're protected, right? Now, if this guy here is not doing what he's supposed to do, God will deal with it, but she's protected. Okay? But if she, I'm taking this from you, if she refuses to submit to him, and she refuses to allow him to be her head, and now all those same problems come, all the same heartaches come, now she's in trouble, and he's in trouble, and the kids are in trouble. You say, well, I don't like my umbrella. I don't like my head. It doesn't matter. You married him. Amen? I don't care for the decisions he makes. That's the part of submitting and just trusting God. Right? And so whenever you submit to your husband, you're getting under that umbrella, and now he has to answer to God. But as soon as she puts it down, now she has to answer to God for those things. She no longer has a head over her. That's just like a child when they move out of their mother and dad's house and they remove themselves from the authority of their parents. They no longer have a head over them. And I know of several examples of this. You can sit down. Thank you. Where they move out of the home and they're not going to submit to mom and dad no more. They're going to be on their own. They're going to have their own bills. They're going to have all that stuff. Now, no longer does that parent their head. Right? And the Bible's economy, a lady is supposed to be under the authority of her dad until she's handed over to her husband. And there's no expiration date on that. But there's women that decide that they're independent and they're going to do it on their own. Well, they've removed themselves from that head, and now they have to give an account for everything that's done. Right? That's just like a church. As a pastor, the Bible says as a pastor, I'm responsible for the souls that are sitting in the church. I have to give an account for you as long as you've been at this church. But the moment that you leave and walk out the doors and don't ever come back, from that point forward, I don't have to give an account for your life. I just have to give an account for the time that you were here. And guess what? If this is where God wanted you to be, you walked out from underneath that umbrella, and now you're not protected anymore. As long as you're under the head that God put in your life, then God will take care of you. And even in bad times, even in bad marriages, even in bad situations, God will take care of you. We have the example of Sarah and Abraham in the Old Testament when Abraham told Sarah to lie. Amen? I mean, it's right there in Scripture. And Sarah did exactly what her husband said. And he ended up paying a price for it, and she didn't. God blessed her. And that happened more than one time. And she just said what? Yes, Lord. We find that where? In 1 Peter? Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord? That's dealing with a backslidden husband. 1 Peter chapter 3 is dealing with a backslidden husband. And it's dealing with the fact that Sarah, as an example, did something that she probably didn't think was right. Now listen, when it comes to that, it has to do with your heart. If I took my wife and said, we're robbing a bank. I mean, that's not right. Can we agree that's not right? And if she goes, that's a bad idea. That's one of those times I should listen to my wife. There's a lot of those times. But I should say, you know what? You're right. I should think this thing through. We shouldn't rob a bank. Amen? And she goes, no. I mean, we shouldn't do this. And there's nothing wrong with her saying that. But if I said, hey, we're robbing a bank, and you're going with me. Now, people will disagree with me on this, but it don't matter. The Bible says what it says, right? It's her heart, okay? And so she goes, nope. And she goes, Lord, I married an idiot. And Father, he's going in here, and I married him. So I'm just going to submit and do it, and Lord, you take care of me. The Lord protect her and go. But we're talking about the heart here, and I know it's an extreme case. Don't go rob the bank with your husband. Amen? But what I'm saying is if that's her heart, God will protect her and take care of her. But if her heart is, my husband said to go rob a bank, I'm going to get new jewelry. I'm going to get a new car. I mean, if she's all excited and she's participating in the sin, then her heart's not right. Doing the same thing. I'll give you some examples. We got all adults in here. Amen. I've heard of situations where husbands have made their wives watch filthy videos. Perverts. That's a pervert. But made their wives sit there and watch filthy videos. That's a pervert. Did I say that? Made them do that. And the wife hated every minute of it. And prayed that her husband would get right with God. And there's some scenarios where the husband repented, got right with God, said, I was wrong for doing that, and moved on. Amen? But then I heard of other situations the same thing happened, and she was just as addicted to it and just as excited as he was. Caused busted up marriages, caused problems all over the place. She's not protected in that case because she's sinning too. Right? God protected her in the other case because she married this guy that turned out to be a pervert. Sometimes they don't know they're a pervert until they get married to him. Amen? That's why you better pray and pray and pray and seek God's will and seek God's will before you marry anybody. Make sure God is in it. Amen? But then once people marry people, you know, things happen. But God will protect you. Amen? And he'll find a way out for you. And so this order of the home is found here in this passage. And if somebody in the home gets out of order, then it's going to affect everybody under them. Now, again, I talked about the husband. If he's out of order in the home, that means that somebody else in the home is in charge. If he's submitting to his wife, that thing's a whole mess. Amen. If the children are in charge in the home, the home's out of order. There's a lot of homes where the mom's not in charge, the dad's not in charge, Johnny's in charge. You don't believe me? Let him throw a fit. He gets what he wants. He is the one running the home. I hope we don't have anybody in here that's going down the road, husband and wife, and I know that this is a lifelong argument. Adam and Eve did the same thing. Where are we eating today? I know Adam and Eve did that. Which tree are we going to today? Amen. It happened. And he's like, I really don't care. I'll find something to eat wherever we go. I'm trying to love my wife and let her pick. And then she says, I don't know. I don't know where I want to go. So I said, okay, well, we're going to the Cracker Barrel tree. And she goes, well, I really don't want that. It's a vicious cycle. Okay, and I'm not getting on that. What was bad is I was with some preachers the other day, and they were doing that. I said, no, I'm pulling in somewhere. We're not doing this. We're not playing this game with men. And so that happens. But I hope, and I understand if it's their birthday, but I hope that every time you go out to eat, you don't turn around and say, kids, where would you like to eat today? And it's okay every now and again to ask them. But you know what we do with our children? We ask them what they want to eat, where they want to eat, what time they want to eat, to the point that when they get older, they think they're actually in charge. And then when they get a job and the boss says, you cannot show up whenever you want to, you have to show up at 8 o'clock, you cannot be on your cell phone, then they throw a fit. They were given permission to do whatever they wanted the whole time they were being raised, and they were asked what they wanted the entire time. The Bible gave you children for you to raise them. That's a home out of order. You go to bed at this time. No electronic devices at this time, whatever the case might be. And they say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, and that's it. And they learn how to respond to authority. The Bible in Proverbs talks about not sparing the rod. If you spare the rod, then you're pretty much damaging your child to the point that he could die and go to hell. You say, what are you talking about? If you don't teach them authority from a small age and how to honor their mother and father and obey and listen and all those things, then the day that God wants to speak to them about their eternal soul, they won't know how to respond to authority. They won't know how to respond to authority. And they'll be teenagers and college students holding BLM signs walking around the streets. Right. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what happens. So the homes are definitely out of order. Amen. Turn to Titus chapter number 2. So we're fined here in Ephesians chapter 5. And this is going to be a lengthy study on what I'm about to start on. And I'm just going to get the groundwork out of the way tonight. Next Wednesday we'll begin to dig more into this. We find in Ephesians chapter 5 that the husband is to love his wife. How much? As much as Christ loves the church and gave himself for it. You can't find no greater love than what Jesus Christ did for you and I. You'll never find a greater love than that. And Paul knew he was dealing with some knuckleheads. Men, stubborn men. And so he had to give another illustration. It said, love her as much as you love yourself. That's an illustration everybody can understand. Now listen, if you're saved and you have a relationship with Christ, then you understand what he did for you on the cross. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, let me tell you what he did for you on the cross. Because of your sin, you deserve to go to hell. Your sin separated you from God. We have Adam's nature all the way back from in the garden. The Bible said in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 said, for the wages of sin is death. There's a payment for sin that has to take place. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now listen, Jesus Christ paid the wage. But if you're not willing to accept what he did on Calvary for you and ask him to save you, there's no works involved. He did the work. If you don't do that, according to Revelation, you're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment, and God's going to try all your works. All these people that want to work their way to heaven, they're going to get an opportunity to present those works. And all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags, is what the Bible tells us. There's nothing you can do that's good enough. Jesus Christ did it for you. But God committed his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How much did Jesus love you? How much did God love you? He sent his only begotten Son. It wasn't his only Son. If it was his only Son, we couldn't be sons. Amen? Amen. It was his only begotten Son. And he sent him down from a perfect world with angels that praised him all the time down to sinful man. And he lived on this wicked world. And he went through everything that mankind goes through. He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. He experienced everything you'll ever experience in your life. And he did that so that he could bear your sin. And he did that so that after you got saved, he could help you. Are you hurting tonight? Have you been hurt by somebody? Jesus knows how you feel. He went through that just so he could help you. Can you imagine somebody taking on sickness and taking on hurt and taking on betrayal when you don't have to, but he did it just so he can understand what you're going through? Sometimes you think about God, the creator of the heaven and earth. He's a supreme being that nothing ever bad happens to him. He came down in the form of a man, was 100% God and 100% man, so that he could feel what you're going through. He can understand what you're going through. So that one day when you prayed to him and said, Lord, I thank you for being my Savior, but God, I'm hurting right now. The Holy Spirit of God can say, I know what you're talking about. And it's not just because I'm God and know everything. It's because I experienced it for you. You want to talk about love. I know many a times with my children, they go through sickness, especially when they were babies and couldn't talk. How many times have parents said, man, I just wish they could tell me what's wrong. I just wish they could tell me. I know Miss Erica experienced some things with her kids, and I know other people that went through things that I would give anything to be in their place and them not have to go through that. I know many of you know what I'm talking about. I would give anything to. Well, Jesus Christ did so that he could help you through it. You want to talk about love? The Bible said in 1 John 4:8, God is love. He is the definition of love. Titus chapter 2, and I'll finish. And we're probably going to go back and look at a couple of these verses just as a launching point for next week. I hope this is a blessing to you tonight and a help. Our homes are in a mess. Absolute mess. Get back to the book or back to the jungle. Titus chapter 2. The world says it takes a village to raise children. No, it takes a mom and dad that love God. Amen. Titus chapter 2, and look at verse number 3. This is the text verse for the older women teaching the younger. We're going to start that on Friday night. And I pray that everybody can be here, all the ladies. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. That's even hard to find in churches nowadays. Just an older lady that's keeping her nose clean and not gossiping and just loves the Lord and living right and submitting to her husband. Amen? That they may teach the young women to be sober. That's not talking about getting a little drink after the kids go to bed. That's talking about being serious-minded. If you don't know what I'm talking about there, I'm against social media. But you can just get on social media and see these girls, these adult women that have children, acting absolutely ridiculous on a camera. They have a husband who that body belongs to the husband, nobody else. So why would you put it out there for the world to see? You know what that is? That's not being sober. That's not being serious-minded. A Christian lady ought to grow up, look like a lady, behave like a lady, like a woman of God. Amen? Say, it's not popular. I won't get likes. Who cares? Delete all the social media. You are for your wife, for your husband and your children. That's what you're there for. Who cares what everybody else thinks? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I'm saddened to say that there's a lot of homes the word of God is blasphemed. Right? Said, do these things so the word of God would not be blasphemed. I don't want to blaspheme the word of God. You wouldn't want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, would you? The word of God is right there with them. There's three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Why would you want to blaspheme any of them? We find right here that the young ladies, the women, are supposed to be taught how to love their husbands and love their children. So the husbands are commanded to love. Now, it doesn't tell the man that he has to be taught to love. A young man can see a young lady walking across the street and he'll fall in love. Now you understand what I'm talking about. It's not the God is love, but he'll fall head over heels for seeing her walk across the street. It doesn't take much. Amen? He'll fall in love with a toy. He'll fall in love with a video game. It doesn't take much for him. It's built into him. He's going to fall in love with something. Some might fall in love with the news. I don't know what your hobby is, but every man has something that he loves. Amen? Would to God we'd fall in love with the Bible and just study it all the time. Amen? Fall in love with the Word of God. But men will fall in love with something in a heartbeat. Right? A woman's not quite the same. She's not just going to see something and fall in love with it, except for a pair of shoes. But a woman, she doesn't fall necessarily, when it comes to a man, with what she sees. And a lot of husbands in here are proof of that. It's what she hears. It's what she hears. So if he's kind to her, talks nice to her, tells her what she wants to hear, and then after they get married, well, he fell in love with her, and now she's mine. But they get home, and she finds out, wow, he's a lot of talk and not a lot of walk. Amen? Where did the love letters go? Where did the poems go? Where did the flowers go? Right? Amen. I don't mean to put all the men under conviction tonight. Where did all that go? So now we're in a situation where she has to be taught how to love her husband and how to love her children. Husbands are to love, women are to love, the children are to love. So what is love? What is Bible love? So come back next Wednesday and we'll start talking about it.